Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Joining us now, as he does every Monday at this time, Chief Deputy Shane Tucker of the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. It's good to talk to you again.
Good morning. Great to have you on. I had some questions on a case that I'm going to assume in advance you can't talk about because I think it's in litigation, but if you can, obviously you let me know. You had this this deputy who did work for you, David Daniels. I guess there was an alcohol incident in his past. At some point, he was then assigned or reassigned to be an SRO. And we've all seen the terrible video that's come out of him with this 8-year-old autistic boy being put in handcuffs. And, you know, let me start with this. He does not work for you anymore. And am I right in assuming you can't talk much about the details here?
That's correct. You know, like you noted, there is ongoing civil litigation, so I'm barred from speaking about that particular case.
I understand. I do have questions because I think the two questions that people have related to this case, number one is, you know, what kind of training do SROs get to prepare them for dealing with kids, particularly special needs kids? And then are there ever circumstances, according to your policy, that would justify having a kid in handcuffs? And I don't know the answer to those questions. That's why I'm asking you.
Sure. Those are good questions. Our SROs are actually well-trained. They go through a actual school resource officer class. They go through, I believe it's a 40-hour class, and they learn how to be a resource officer. And that brings with it a whole host of things. You know, that covers the gamut of things that they're going to experience as a resource officer. But in addition to that, they also go to specialized training, crisis intervention techniques, and things like that. They go through specialized training in dealing with juveniles, particularly those with emotional or mental disabilities, because, you know, you see that a lot in schools these days, kids facing some kind of crisis. So they are actually trained to do that. As far as your second question, there certainly are times when it is permissible to handcuff a child. That's going to be somewhat of a case-by-case basis based on behavior and circumstance. I'm not going to say definitively that it's never okay to handcuff a child, and I'm certainly not going to say that it's appropriate in every circumstance. But, you know, if the child does present a danger of escape or something like that, then that's certainly a possibility.
I would imagine there are cases where the child is a danger to themselves or to others, where there doesn't seem to be any other remedy, in which case it would be justified. I imagine other cases where it would definitely not be justified, and then I can imagine an in-between case where it might be justified but not the best choice, and, you know, officers are hopefully going to be able to make those decisions and come up with the best alternative. Basically, in general, that's all correct, right?
Yeah, that is.
Okay. All right, good. Well, thank you. I think that just helps for some people to have a sense of the parameters here. You guys are working a homicide this morning. Is that right?
We are. Last night, our deputies responded to a complaint of a shooting at a Navarre apartment complex. When they got on scene, they discovered an adult male deceased and apparently the victim of a homicide. Our major crimes investigators and crime scene investigators are actively working that case, trying to piece together what happened, what took place, and who's responsible. So we don't know a lot right now, but as that information becomes available, certainly we'll get it released to you.
Wow. All right. Well, you guys also, I think you had over the weekend on Saturday, you had an aggravated battery?
We did indeed. Saturday, our deputies were dispatched to a home in Milton after receiving a report of some type of domestic disturbance. Almost immediately upon arriving, the first deputy was met by an irate individual who approached aggressively, pretty much charged the deputy. You know, the deputy gave him several commands to get back, to stop advancing on him, and he didn't. So he was ultimately tased and taken into custody right off the bat. And after further investigation, they made contact with the victim, which was the mother of the adult male that the deputy first encountered, and learned that there had been some kind of altercation after he became irate, ostensibly over some religious differences between the two. So he struck her with a closed fist and a aluminum baseball bat. So he was charged with aggravated battery as well as resisting an officer. And of course, the mother received medical treatment.
And the officer wasn't injured in the takedown?
The officer was not injured.
And that's, you know, you pass over this pretty quickly, but for people who are not familiar, you know, this is why you do some of the drills and the simulators, because when somebody's charging at you, you know, on the moment, it can be hard to tell, well, is this a person? Is this a person with a knife? Is this a person with a gun? Is this a person who knows jiu-jitsu? You know, what am I about to get into? And you make very rapid decisions about hand-to-hand defense, taser defense, nightclub defense, pepper spray defense, or gun defense, right?
You do. And in those split-second moments, you have to make decisions. And generally speaking, in a situation like this, you're far less likely to sustain injuries yourself or the other party sustain injuries from a tasing as opposed to a physical, you know, fisticuff, so to speak. You know, there's the taser causes momentary pain. It contracts your muscles. It locks your muscles up. But once the taser stops, the pain stops, which is not the case when you're exchanging punches with somebody. If you get punched in the face, you're going to have contusions and swelling and pain for quite some time. So it's safer for all involved. But precisely why you don't charge at deputies in an irate manner, you know, raising your arms and shouting things, because that's the kind of decision that the deputy's confronted with, and he has to make a split second decision. And fortunately, in this particular circumstance, neither the deputy nor the suspect were injured.
Yeah, and I mean, clearly, this is a case where it doesn't take much for this to go a whole lot worse for that particular individual. And obviously we're glad that the woman is apparently going to be all right as well. Shane Tucker, he is the Chief Deputy Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. As always, Chief, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us safe and helping us understand what the law is. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet.